All right, let's pray. Our gracious Father, we praise you, we worship you, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters to study your word. Father, we ask that as we look to your word, as we do every Friday, Lord, that it would do its work in our lives, that it would convict us, it would change us, it would mold us and shape us, Lord, that we might be more like your Son, Jesus. Cause it to have an effect in our lives. Lord, let us hear with our hearts that we might be changed. Let us not be like the person in James who hears, sees himself in the mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. But let us truly hear and be changed by your word. For we know that your word is alive and active, Father. We pray for those who could not make it tonight. Lord, be with them. Keep them safe, we ask. Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity to meet. We thank you for everything you've done for us, for our next breath that you give to us, Lord, for our homes, our families. Lord, we just are so blessed by you. And so we thank you, we love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so tonight we'll be finishing Titus. It's been less than a year, actually, since we started Titus. First John took us almost 2 years. Titus, being a shorter book, we'll finish tonight. So, 14 and 15, but who wants to volunteer to read for me? Okay. All right, why don't we do this? Okay. Why don't we all just go around the room and read one verse. If you don't want to, just look at the person next to you. You don't have to read. That's fine. So Lance, why don't you start? Chapter 3, verse 1. No, I'll agree. 14, verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Okay, so remember from last week, again, this is Paul writing a letter to Titus here. Titus is where? Where is he? Someone say it. Crete. Okay, he's in Crete, right? And he's finishing the task that Paul could not finish because Paul had to leave. Titus is there ordaining elders, appointing elders, teaching faithfully, right? So now they're coming to a close here. Paul says, when I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis. So Titus is going to finish his important task that he was left with. Paul is now going to send two other guys there to take over. Titus isn't going to go and join up with Paul for the winter. Okay. Also verse 13, send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste that they may lack nothing. And so remember that. We want them to lack nothing. Okay, so verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Okay, he says, and let our people, this means in the Greek, our own, let our own people, not ethical or anything like that, but our fellow Christians, the fellow saints, our people, those who are children of God, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let our people, these chosen ones, let them also maintain good works. So the Christians here in Crete, this is who he's referring to. Let our people, the Christians who are there, let them also maintain good works. The word maintain means by implication to care for something, to be diligent in, and to practice. Okay, so what are they going to be caring about? Or what are they going to be diligent in? Or what are they going to be practicing? Well, obviously, good works. Paul wants to emphasize that, look, you're Christians now. God has saved you. It's not like now you can just sit back and relax and do nothing. No, now we have duties. We have responsibilities as Christians, and that is good works. And we know this, that we don't do good works to become Christian, for we learned that we can never do enough good works to be saved, right? Even if we lived a million years or had a million lifetimes, we can never do enough good works to earn salvation. Never. We are saved by grace and grace alone. He's saying here, look, God has saved you. And if you are truly saved, the good works will naturally follow. Because you're a new person. Now you're striving to be like Christ. Paul has been faithful in teaching. Titus has been faithful in teaching. Along with those who Titus has appointed as elders, have been teaching the new Christians here in Crete. And teach them to be faithful to do good works, to love and serve the body. We all have a part to play as Christians. So he's saying again, maintain means to care for something. So he wants the Christians here and us to care for good works, to care for them, to consider them, as we learned a few weeks ago, to thoughtfully consider good works, what we ought to be doing as Christians. And not only just consider them, but do them and care for them. Care for the good works that you will be doing. Be diligent in them and to continuously practice them. So we are to care for good works and be diligent in them. So he goes on, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs that they might not be unfruitful. So this is a faithful saying. And these things I want to affirm to you constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Why? These things are good and they're profitable to men. This is earlier in Titus. I'll read it one more time. Paul writes, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm to you constantly, meaning over and over, to remind you that those who have believed in God, those who have been chosen by God, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been changed by Christ, and He's made us into a new creation, these who have believed in God should be careful. And remember, the word careful there means to consider. Careful to maintain good works. Why? Because they are good and profitable to men, especially the body of Christ. We are to do good works for the sole purpose of serving the body of Christ. And who's the body? Who's the body? We are. We are the body of Christ. And so good works are for the purpose of edifying and building up the body. Okay? Okay, basically, one commentator writes that he says we are to live godly lives and habitually and diligently pursue some useful business. In other words, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, I need to be doing something. God has changed me and made me a new person, and now this new person has some duty or responsible, and so I need to pursue some sort of good work for the body of Christ. I can't just sit there, yeah, I'm a Christian, now I can just do whatever I want or be lazy. No. We all have a responsibility. You're a part of the body, and so you have a responsibility to do some sort of good work to serve the body. Right? And ultimately, you want to do it. Why? Because you love Christ. It's not like it's some legalistic thing where I must do this, I must do this. Yes, in a sense, we should. We're told to. But those who truly have believed in God and Jesus as the Lord and Savior wants to. And it comes naturally now. He's given us a new nature. That new nature wants to do good works, wants to serve Him, and does it joyfully without complaining. So it's not as if we're some robots here just doing good works and we're mumbling and grumbling and complaining about them. The new nature that has been given to us wants to now do good works because we love God and we want to please Him. And when we do them, we benefit and we serve and we build up the body of Christ. So live godly lives. And habitually and diligently pursue some sort of business. So are we pursuing? What are we doing as Christians? Are we pursuing Are we finding somewhere where we can serve the body? Are we maintaining good works? Are we considering them? What are we doing as Christians? And it doesn't matter if you're only teenagers. It doesn't matter if you're 10, 11, 12, up to 18, 19, 20, 100 years old. It doesn't matter. If you're a Christian, we ought to maintain good works. We ought to practice them. Do you love Christ? Are you His children? Then serve Him. And when you serve Him, you serve the body. So all of us as Christians should be diligently pursuing something to serve the body. So what is it that you are pursuing? What good work are you maintaining that is helping the body of Christ? And so what are some examples? Well, maybe there's an old lady in the church who her husband passed away and she can't mow the lawn anymore. Right? We got some strong, burly young guys in here, right? Go start a lawnmower and mow her lawn. Right? Maybe she's having trouble walking too, and so she needs help in the house, cleaning, right? And I'm not saying guys can't clean toilets or dust or whatever, but we want them to do the outside work, right? So they get dirtier. Right? Okay, and vice versa. I'm not saying, girls, you can't mow a lawn. Right? Okay? Lance likes to dust. That's okay. Right? Okay. What's my point? Point is, we ought to be busy doing something for the body of Christ continuously. That's what we do as Christians. And so we can think of hundreds of examples like that. Right? Someone needs help in schoolwork. You happen to be good in that subject. Help a brother out. Right? And don't help him cheat. Right? Right? Help him something. Just, you know, many examples. Okay? So, now he says, maintain good works. Okay? Also, maintain means do not cease. Continuously do good works. And he says, and to meet urgent needs. Now, keep in mind what I say not to forget about verse 13. I just said it like 10 minutes ago. Anyone remember? Lack nothing, that they may lack nothing. Okay, who's they? No. Matt? Close. Next verse. Zenas and Apollos. Okay? Zenas and Apollos. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. Okay, now, we've all heard of the word hospitality, right? We've read it in the Bible, right? In Bible times, it was custom for people to go on journeys, right? So they go on long journeys, they come into a town, and so then they'd be hungry and thirsty, right? So it'd be hospitality actually refers to taking in a stranger and clothing them and feeding them and giving them water to drink. Okay, so here we have Zenas and Apollos who are on their journey. And so they're going to be passing through a couple of towns. Whether they're going to go through Crete, or they're going to stay in Crete, or they're going to pass through Crete and join Paul and Titus in Nicopolis. We don't know. It doesn't say. It just says, send them on their journey with haste. Why? That they may lack nothing. So here's an opportunity for these new Christians here in Crete. If they pass through Crete, or if they stay in Crete to help out the other two guys, here's a good example for these Christians to serve them. Right? He says, make sure they lack nothing. What does that mean? Meet their physical needs. Doesn't do us any good if Brother Joe and Sister Sue come through town and we say, oh, you're brothers, we love you so much. Well, I hope you find somewhere to stay. Right? Or, you know, you just ate dinner, you know, Mom made a good old big dinner and you're full, you know, and it's wintertime, you got a nice heavy coat on and even a hoodie and a wife beater, you know, got plenty of clothes. And here come these people through town. they're cold, you know, and they're hungry. Man, I just had a good dinner. Well, I hope you find something good to eat. Yeah, and I hope you can find a good coat, but good luck. All the stores are closed now. Sorry. Right? Here's an excellent opportunity, and this is exactly what he's talking about. Make sure they lack nothing. So what do we do for the body of Christ? We make sure they lack nothing. The elders are going to feed them spiritually, right? Always. And the body of Christ, we can keep each other accountable spiritually. And we need to do a better job of all of us. We need to get better at being more accountable to each other, right? All of us need to raise our hand. We're all guilty. But physically also, we need to meet each other's needs. If someone is hungry, you feed him. If someone is cold and they don't have a coat, give them one of yours. Right? We all have two coats. We have tons of sweaters we can wear. Right? So we need to meet each other's needs. Make sure they lack nothing. If they need somewhere to stay, take them in or put them in a hotel or a motel or something. Don't just say, well, may you be well fed and keep warm. See you later. And do nothing. We ought to have a love for each other, which we'll get to in a minute here, that is so strong that we're knitted together in love and our bond is so strong that when we see a brother or sister in need, we can't wait to help them. Right? This is what he's saying. Make sure they lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works. See how he mentions that? Right after he says to make sure they lack nothing. Make sure they lack nothing and let our people also maintain good works to meet urgent needs, he's saying. Meet those urgent needs because guess what? There's always going to be urgent needs. Always. Some families not going to have a whole lot of money and they're not going to have a lot of groceries. Their needs need to be met. Right? And there's always going to be spiritual needs. They need to be met. There needs to be accountability. Okay. Meet urgent needs for necessary uses. Necessary by physical need, right, which we just talked about. So Paul concludes with this verse, okay, with the end of this sentence. Paul concludes that they may not be unfruitful. Okay? William Burkett writes this. Learn hence that as Christianity is no barren and fruitless profession, but all persons professing religion ought to take care that good works may accompany their faith. I'll read that again. He says that as Christianity is no barren and fruitless profession, but all persons professing religion, professing Jesus Christ, ought to take care that good works accompany their faith. So you have faith, show me your works, right? Okay. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Okay. Now verse 15. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. So he says, remember Paul's writing this letter to Titus. He says, all who are with me greet you or salute thee. We salute you. Okay. This shows the sincerity of heart of these people. Because though now Paul is gone, right? And those who are with him, who also left, though they are absent physically, they are no doubt ever present spiritually. And they are always praying for these people who they left behind in Crete. And so this shows us, hey, we greet you. We salute you. We are thinking about you. You are in our prayers. And so Paul would go on a journey. And he doesn't just stay there a week. and preaches the gospel and leaves. He's probably there months at a time, if not even a couple years, building a church. Right? He goes and he's preaching the gospel. He's making disciples. He's building relationships. He's appointing elders. He's bringing Titus and Timothy and all these guys, Apollos and all these guys, and they're doing nothing but the work of the Lord. And so all of us, most of us probably, have been on a missions trip. And we usually go here for maybe a week, right? But even in that week of time, what happens with some of the kids down there? You find one or two, right, that you have a special connection with them. And you build a little bond, right? And you come home and you always think about them. And you pray for them. Well, imagine spending months or a couple years. You're going to build some strong bonds, right? And so when he says here, all who are with me greet you. He's not just saying, oh yeah, tell the people what's up, you know, how's it going? That's not the idea at all. He's saying, all who are with me, who were there serving and loving and helping and making friendships, we greet you. Tell them hi. Tell them we love them. Tell them we're praying for them. Remember, this is a culture that was full of paganism and false gods and legalism. And so these people in Crete, they have new life and they're new people. And they know that these people care for them. Titus is going to be faithful to do what Paul tells him to do. So he's going to tell the people, hey, Paul tells me to tell you hi and that they love you and they're thinking of you and they're joyous to hear of your good works. They're joyous to hear that you are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So when we read, all who are with me greet you, don't just zoom past that. This has deep meaning here. We have to dive deep into the scriptures, right? And find out what's being said. What is the principle? What are we learning here? So we are learning here that they have built strong bonds with each other. And they are kindred spirit. They are one souled. And as Christians, that's what we should be. One soul, kindred spirit. Like Paul says in Philippians, we are knit together in love. Now, I'm not a knitter, right? But maybe some of you are, right? And so you knit the stuff together. Don't even ask me how it works, right? I just know it eventually becomes a blanket, right? Okay? So you have one string and maybe another, right? And so you're knitting those two together. And eventually, it's one big blanket. That's the body of Christ. We're all individuals, but together we're one. We're knit together through Christ's love. We look different. We act different. Some of us look goofier than others. But you know what? We're still children of God. And nothing can take that from us. See, there's something different about Christians that can never be taken away from us. We have something in common that can never be taken away from us. And that is, God is our Father. God Almighty, the one who spoke this world into existence, the one who gives you your next breath to breathe. What we share in common is that He is our Father. All of us have the privilege of crying out to Him, Abba, Father. And they can't take that away from us. And so we're knit together in love. We're kindred spirit. Listen to what He says. He says, greet those who love us in the faith. So this even furthers what I'm saying here. They have such a strong bond with each other that even though they had to leave and Titus had to remain and Titus had to appoint elders and continue and finish the task, he says, all who are with me greet you and greet those who love us in the faith. See, Paul knows. He went, he preached the word. God saved people. They built strong relationships. Families were changed. And so they have a love for each other. And Paul knows that. He knows the people there love him. And so he says, greet those who love us in the faith. There it is. In the faith. Just what I was talking about. We're in the faith. God is our Father. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. We're in the faith. And that's what He's saying. Greet those who love us in the faith. Those are my brothers and my sisters. And they mean everything to me. And I know they feel the same about me. So what about us? Do we understand how strong of a bond they had? These are not just passing words. Oh yeah, I greet you and greet us. See you later. Not at all. We see that in these two short verses, these people in Crete and all who served with Paul, they formed a bond that will never be broken. And that should be said of us. Yes, we're sinners and we're going to offend each other every once in a while. We're going to say mean things every once in a while. But the love of Christ is above that. And so we forgive each other. And we press on. And we serve with each other. We work hand in hand alongside with each other. And so we need to lay down our pride. Lay down our pride and build these bonds just like they had here. When you go away and you're gone for a while, who are you thinking about? Are you thinking about your friends at school who are not even Christians? You need to think about your brothers and sisters who are in the faith, who love you, and who want to keep you accountable and can't wait till you come back because we're family. Right? We need to have this type of love right here amongst us in Faith First Youth Ministry. That is the type of love that our parents should see you guys having for one another. That is the type of love that your friends who are not Christians should see amongst each other. That is the type of love that when you say something mean to this person, we see them forgiving and coming together in love and say, you know what, I forgive you. You're my brother. You're my sister. Because you know what? We're going to offend each other every once in a while. We're sinners. But Christ has forgiven us. We ought to forgive each other. We're family. We come together. If you're offended, don't be mad and stay away. Work it out. Go to the person. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be mad. Don't hold a grudge. Go to that person and say, you know what? I love you, but you've offended me. This is what you've done. I want to work this out. And they might say, oh, I have no idea. I'm so sorry. Or they might say, yeah, I did say that. That was wrong of me. Forgive me. Too many times we get offended and then we do nothing about it. So what happens? Our sinful flesh starts having all these evil thoughts and sinful thoughts. And now we have grudges and we don't even want to be with them anymore, right? Why do we do that? Why do we shame on us, right? Go to the person who's offended you. Work it out. If any of you ever gets offended by someone else here on Friday nights, please don't get mad and stop coming on Friday nights. Work it out. If you want my help, come to me. We'll get together and we'll go to Scriptures and we'll work it out. We'll forgive and we'll hug each other and say, I love you. And then we'll keep on. That is what Christ would want for us. That is what Christ would want for Faith First Youth Ministry. Right? They had such a strong bond here of love. The love of Christ. And we ought to have the same. Amen? So he says, grace be with you all. Amen. Grace be with you all. And grace that only comes from God. And so when he says, grace be with you all, never forget that it was grace that saved you. You did not earn salvation. All of us have grace, and we ought to feel thankful that we have been given grace from God. And so when anyone tells us, grace be with you, we ought to say, amen. Grace has been given to me. Amen. And let our people also maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. So next time we read any of Paul's letters and we come to the end and we see these final greetings, we don't just read over them, do we? They're the Word of God also. And they have meaning. Right? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father God, again, we have finished another book, and for that we thank you. I thank you that you have given us time to be able to study another book of your most holy, precious word. You have extended your hand in mercy and grace another day, that so that your word may go out and do its perfect work. And for that I thank you, that I have been given the privilege, the most awesome opportunity to proclaim your word. So I pray, O God, that you would do your work now. That let your precious word reach all of our lives and change our hearts and cause us to be changed, cause us to be different, cause us to have a love for you that is so strong, and cause us to have a love for each other just like these people did here. Work that in us, we pray, O Holy Spirit. And let us now, as we leave these doors, not forget. Let us not be that person who forgets. Let us truly be changed. Let us hear tonight with our hearts, and let us leave these doors tonight and be changed. Let us leave tonight with a stronger love for each other here. Let us leave tonight and not be embarrassed to say, my brother, my sister, I'm glad I got to see you tonight. I love you. And we can say it without a perverse way that our world has perversed it. We should be able to say, I love you, to our brothers and sisters, and mean it with all sincerity of heart, coming from the love of Christ. Work that in us, we pray, O God. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.